I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And here another week has rolled by, and we're all gathering together all over the world to worship the wonderful Savior and to worship God in heaven, the great God who created all things and holds all things together. And He knows every one of us by name, and the hairs of our head are numbered. And so that's a wonderful, wonderful God, and we rejoice that we can worship Him together. We're looking at Psalm chapter 47 today. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. O Heavenly Father, we gather today to sing your praises, to worship you as the one great God who made all things and hold all things together. And you hold us in your hand and we rejoice. And Lord, when we go through the hard things of life, and I know that many are worshiping with us today, going through hard times, that you were there, and you know everything that's happening, and you're going to have the last word. So bless us, dear Lord, as we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And Hank has a song, and it goes just perfect. He's still God. So God bless you, Hank.
When the days seem so long, He makes my heart strong. He's still God.
He's still God.
He's still God.
He's still God.
And when the night time is near, He calms all my fears. He's still God.
He's still God.
He's still God. He's still God, and He still reigns upon His throne. He's still God, and He still cares for His own. He's still the hope for the soul. He's still in control. So be still now and know He's still God. When I'm down and feeling sad, He makes my heart glad. He's still God.
He's still God.
He's still God.
He's still God.
In joy or in pain, in the sunshine or the rain, He's still God.
He's still God.
He's still God. He's still God, and He still reigns upon His throne. He's still God, and He still cares for His own. He's still the hope for the soul. He's still in control. So be still now and know He's still God. So be still now and know He's still God. Well,
thank you, Hank, and an amen to that. He's still God. And you know, we see how things are going in the world, and we see our brothers and sisters in Christ being put to death in parts of the world and wickedness everywhere. And we just wonder, if God, do you know? And then when we just still and stop to think, God is there and He's in control. And when He is good and ready, He'll put a stop to it and He'll end all of these terrible injustices and sins of the world. But I think He waits and waits so that He'll be just, maybe somebody else will come to repentance. Maybe somebody else will be saved from hell. And so He waits because He's a good God and He's long-suffering. But just remember, God is God. Well, we're reading some letters. We're so thankful. And by the way, we're going to read from Psalm 94 in just a few minutes. But we just want to thank you all for the letters. We get so many nice letters, letters of encouragement and letters to tell of some of your needs. And we have prayer requests and we always pray for them. And we just rejoice that so many of you write to us. And I hope you'll just keep it up. Then we'll share some of them. And so here's some we want to share today. This one is from Tennessee Summit in Missouri. And they write and say, "We're sending a small gift to your ministry. We thank God for it. My husband, age 82, is an invalid, cannot attend our church now after many years of faithful service. Your program is a highlight of our weekend worship on television. And so we are thankful for your heartfelt presentation of the gospel of our Lord. So much of broadcasting does not feed the soul, but your program does, both the message and the music. We thank God for your ministry." And so isn't that nice? We feed the soul. You know how we feed the soul? Preach the Bible. Sing about the Bible. That's where the power is. That's where the strength is. That's where we get our strength and help from hour to hour and day to day. The wonderful, changeless Word of God. Nice letter. Here's Newport Richey, Florida. And you all, I want you all to listen to this. You animal lovers, listen to this. "My parakeet named Millie, 10 years old, sings up a storm when Pastor Salem, Jan, Barb, Melissa, and Hank are on TV." I'm sure glad they ended the rest of those bunch on there so Millie can sing with them too. But she's a creation from God, and so praise the Lord. We just thank for anybody that will listen to us. We're just thankful for them. Here's Tinley Park, Illinois. "My caregiver is writing this for me. I am bedridden, but have listened to your sermons since 2013 every Sunday. They made me a better Christian. Remember, we are going to meet at the Eastern Gate. I'm hoping to see you there. I'll be 95 on October 27th. May the Lord hold you in His hands until then." And you'd be surprised at the number of people that write. And then I write back and say, "Yeah, I'll be there. We're going to meet at the Eastern Gate." And I've been at the Eastern Gate into the Jerusalem on earth, but this is going to be the holy city, the new Jerusalem. And won't that be some gathering? So we invite all of you to come. Come to the Eastern Gate. We'll have a big get-together, and we'll praise the Lord just like, boy, we'll praise Him to high heavens. If they have heavens, I guess. Well, we'll figure that out when we get there. Let's go to the next letter. Here's Cranston, Rhode Island. "I'm an inmate at the Rhode Island Penitentiary. I'm 44 years old and have been in prison for 11 years. But on February 18th, 2015, I finally accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm so thankful for Him and what He has done and continues to do for us all. I have been watching your broadcast Sundays on Ion 68.1, and they're very inspiring. I'd like to know if you have any publications and or other literature available that you could send me." Well, we hear from, I think every week we hear from somebody accepted the Lord, and we just rejoice. And here's a dear brother, he's in prison, and he's opened his heart to Jesus. And so what we do, we send him a little packet, and it's for new Christians. It's like Billy Graham gives out at the Crusades, and it helps them get started in the Christian life. And then we send them the new song. And the new song is a little Bible study we put out every month. And so we, if you'd like to get that, I'll give you the address in just a few minutes. You can write to us and get the new song. and it's a Bible study. And then we have all the sermons listed that we're going to be preaching. We have the text, so you can study that text, see if I'm online. If I'm offline, write to me, send your gift. When you're in, you send your gift. You can write and correct me. And as all, I like correction better if there's a gift with it. But either way, we like to hear from you. And so you write to us. So this dear brother, we have sent literature to him, and we're praying for him, and we're rejoicing that here he's come to know the Lord. Here's a Belton, Missouri, and they write, as a shut-in, your services mean so much to me. You preach the word always, and all your music is great, and all the other helpers make your services great, old-fashioned, and easily understood by all. And I just want to pause a minute because we do have a lot of workers that are behind the scenes. They run the cameras and the sounds and the lights, and I don't know what all they do back there. I think they have coffee and rolls too. I don't know. But anyway, they're here, and they're always here and helping us, and we just thank God for them. So there's more than just the people on the lights. There's others standing behind them. We have a staff of 5 young ladies in the office that help us. So we have a wonderful team, and we're thankful to God for that. And so they write and they say, I recommend you to my many friends who are shut-ins as I am. I'll be 89 in May, and after serving God for many, many, many years, I miss it so much. I am a widow and look forward to when God wants me to join him and my loved ones in heaven. Wish I could do more, but Social Security doesn't go far. Pray every day for you all in Christ. And so, you know, whether the gift is large or small, we appreciate it. And whether, if you can't give anything, you can pray. And that's where the power is. Pray for us. And pray that God will provide for our needs. Boy, we got a lot of them. We took on some new stations here. And I don't know how we're going to pay for it, but you know, that's the Lord's business. And if he wants us on there, he'll pay the way. If he doesn't want us on there, he'll dry it up and that'll be just fine. We'll go fishing or something like that. So how can you go wrong on that? Here's Milwaukee, Oregon. Every week I've come away from your service with something to challenge me to be a better person. I need to strive to be more like Jesus, clean in mind and body. I'm so thankful my church family comes into my home every week. It really helps me in my daily life. Once again, please send the new song. It's so uplifting for me, so thank you for sending it. And Grand Island, Nebraska. And it says, I have some exciting news to share with you. I've been watching Christian Worship Hour for several weeks. I always gain new insights that I can apply to my life. After a recent broadcast, I got down on my knees, confessed my sins, repented, and asked Jesus to be a part of my life. Thanks to God's grace and mercy, you showed me his love. I'm a new Christian because of your efforts. You're in my prayers daily. I'm very grateful you led me to the Lord. You are a blessing and encouragement to me. Now you know who this person is writing to? This lady is writing to every one of you that send a gift and every one of you that pray and every one of you that help put on the services. That's who she's writing to, because I can't do it all by myself. My sermons wouldn't go beyond the walls of this building. And so when we have our team working with the technicians and we have our staff at the office and we have our musicians and everybody's in it, and every one of you who pray and every one of you give, you have a part in bringing this lady to the Lord. Now this last one I'm going to read is the secretary asked me if I was going to read this on the service. And I prayed about it and said, yeah, the Lord says, well, don't be so proud when they say something that, you know, they'll brag on you. Read it. So I'm reading it. I don't want to, but I'm going to read it. Ludington, Michigan, thank you for your program. We love your old-time preaching, even when you raise your voice and look angry. Well, I'm mad at the devil. Can't you get that? Do you like the devil? Do you smile when the devil comes around? No. So I'm angry at the devil. You tell it like it is. We're actually looking forward to your 100th birthday. Well, I am too, and Beulah's going to join me there. Hope and pray that we make it. We are in our 80s. Stay healthy. We just get some of the nicest letters, and we just have fun with them, and just it's just great. And so thank you for writing. And I want to urge you to, if you can do, just find some time and write to us. And if you want the new song, you write to us. Write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is really easy. It's 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. There's only one Aberdeen in South Dakota. But you know what? There's an Aberdeen in every state in the Union. Every state. Such a wonderful name. But this Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then if you want to, you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And if you want to help us, you just pray about it and say, now, dear Lord, is this something you want me to support? Do you want your money to help this ministry? And then you pray about it. And the Lord will say, yes, give them a big chunk. Or maybe the Lord will say, no, you're good to somebody else, because there are other great works being on television also. And so just pray about it. And whatever God lays on your heart, that's just fine with us. And if you want to send a gift, you can send it now anywhere in the world. You can send it, and we'll get it in American money so we can use it to pay our bills. And the way you do it is you get the Christian Worship Hour. And then on there, there'll be something that says donate. That means you're going to give. And so you just punch that donate, and it'll say PayPal. And then that'll say, how much do you want to send? And so you pay your pals, and then we'll preach. And if you don't pay us anything, we're still your pals, but we're probably better pals if you send us something. But I'm just kidding. We love you and the Lord, and I know some of you can't give. You just don't have it, and that's fine. But you can pray. Everybody can pray. And so I hope you'll do that. Now, when you write for the new song, we have a study in June this month, and it's about what must I not do to be saved. We're always, what must I do to be saved? Well, we have a little Bible study on what I must not do to be saved. And so you write, it's free and postpaid, and we'd be glad to send it to you. And it's the Christian Worship Hour, and it's a box 2002. Now, I'm repeating it. I know we got it on television, but we are a shortwave radio all over the world. And so if you're on shortwave radio and it takes a little time for you to write it down, just Christian Worship Hour. And then the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And one more thing. I want you all to know that we're a full member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And that is an international organization that checks our books. They edit our books. They see what our budget is. They see what our statement of faith is. They see if we're spending our money where we say we're going to spend it. And they check us like a hawk. But it never bothers us, because we're on the level. And the more they check, the happier we are. So check along, Evangelical Council. Check all you want. And you just can really know that your money will go just where we say it'll go. So now I'm going to pray. Jan is going to play for you. And then you give as God lays on your heart. So Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you and praise you for all of those over the years, for over 36 years now. Many of them, Lord, are in your presence. They've gone on to their reward. But they helped us when we started. And a lot of them didn't have much, but they all stood together. And now you have a whole new group standing by. And so, Lord, just move among your people, and we'll know that what we get is what you want us to get. So we pray for every gift, and we pray for every giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you, and thank you for your ministry of music. We're reading from Psalm chapter 94 today, and in our prayer, we're going to be praying for China. Every week, we pray for a new, different country, and we pray for the Christian people that are suffering and going through many of the martyrs for Christ. And we need to be mindful of these brothers and sisters. And not only those that lose their life because they're in the presence of the Lord. And as St. Paul said, absent from the body at home with the Lord, he says, for me to live is Christ, die is gain. And so those who lose their life, they're in the presence of the Lord. But we think of those that are left behind, the wives, the mothers, the children, and all of the sorrow, the friends, close friends, and fellowship. And so every week we pray for a different country. This time it's China. But first of all, I want to read a few verses from Psalm 94, verses 11 to 15. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are God. We thank you that though the sin may abound on every side, that you're going to have the last word. You're still on the throne, and someday you're going to, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And we're told that you're going to descend from heaven with a shout, and it's going to be, all the world is going to see you. You're going to touch your feet on the Mount of Olives, and it's going to be cleft in twain. And they're going to see this great God Almighty. And then you're going to judge the unrighteousness and the evil and the wickedness in the world. Help us to keep our minds on that, Lord, and not to despair, not to worry and fuss and fret, but to know that you are God and everything, you know, everything's taking place, everything's okay. And Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in China today, many of them giving their life, and they're giving their life because they will not deny you. Are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. It'll cost you your life. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And so we just pray that you bless. Those that are in your presence are rejoicing, Lord. But those that are left behind, there'll be great sorrow and poverty and, oh God, fear and who knows what. And so be with those. I know you'll be with those people. We know that. But just help them to lean on you and help them to know that you are in charge and everything will be all right. And then, Lord, help all of us to live that way, putting you first, rejoicing in you. So we pray and we thank you for who you are and what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Barb has a song, I'll Pray for You. And isn't that a wonderful thing to do? God bless you, Barb.
I saw an old friend at the market, standing in the checkout line. She began to share her story, then I told her mine. It was clear we both knew heartache, so before I turned to go, we made a simple promise that would lighten both our loads. I'll pray for you, you pray for me, and together we'll touch heaven from our knees. Anything can happen in His name when we agree. I'll pray for you, you pray for me. what a privilege and honor to know that God is there and to have His full attention anytime and anywhere. Sometimes when we're talking, conversation turns to you as your name and needs are mentioned. God lifts my spirit too. I'll pray for you. You pray for me. And together we'll touch heaven from our knees. Anything can happen in this name when we agree. I'll pray for you, you pray for me. I'll pray for you, you pray for me.
Well, thank you, Barb. And isn't that a nice thought? We'll touch heaven from our knees. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches us. When we pray, we go into the very throne room of heaven because Jesus has paid the price of our sins and the veil of the temple is rent in the midst and we enter the very presence of God. So when we kneel to pray, we are right at the throne of God. Oh, what a privilege that is. And we just thank you for all who pray for this ministry and pray for each other and pray for these martyrs in another land, all different parts of the world. Well, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, what's this flower here? And, you know, it's beautiful, isn't it? Well, I'll tell you, this is a gift from my daughter, Patty. And she's given it to me because this week I'm going to hit my 94th birthday, the Lord willing, June 26th. And so she gave me a beautiful flower. She's a great help to me. And I have a son, Michael, here in town. And they're just a great blessing to me. And so I'm going to preach about this wonderful, wonderful Savior. And, of course, we have a Father's Day now. And we all want to honor our fathers. But I preached that sermon last week so that I could spend some time on this sermon today. And so starting in the 90th Psalm every year, I preach from that Psalm that's the same as my age. And so that means that today it'll be chapter 94. And I know that the minute I say that, I say, well, I'm preaching it on my birthday. I'm preaching on all those Psalms. I know you're saying right away, you're looking in your Bible, how many Psalms are there? See, well, there's 150. And I can tell you what right now that I'm going to spend all 150 of them, but most of them I'm going to spend with Beulah in heaven. And I'm going to spend just as many here as God wants me to. And then I'm going to join that crowd over there. And I got, there's so many people over there I'm anxious to see. And so how many Psalms on earth and how many Psalms in heaven? I don't know, but we'll do all 150. We'll do every one of them. And so we don't know. We just don't know when God will call us home. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And I take that to mean that God has a certain number of days for every one of us. And we should watch those days and use them carefully to honor Jesus and to love Jesus and to serve Him and to help other people. In Psalm 94, the psalmist laments the fact that wickedness prospers. And if that isn't true today, when we see Christians being martyred all over the world, that's happened since day one of the church. You know, church no more than started, and it was persecuted. And it's going on now, and it's going to go till Jesus comes again. And so, verse 3, the psalmist says, "Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph?" and then he sees the wicked people, and he says, how long are they going to triumph? And they are oppressing the people of God. They're oppressing the Christian people, the Christians that love the Lord. Verses 5 and 6, he says, they break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. You could paraphrase this to read like this. See them oppressing your people, O Lord, afflicting those who love you. They murder widows, immigrants, and orphans, for the Lord isn't looking, they say, and besides, they say, he doesn't care. Well, if that isn't today, I don't know what it is, because wickedness is running wild, and God's going to let it go a little longer, and then he's going to pull that leash, and they're going to stop in their dirty tracks, and then he's going to deal with these people. So God help us is happening today. And way back in the Psalms, for instance, we have the plaintive cry in Psalm 44 and verse 22. Yea, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. And so that's been the history of the Christian church. And so we pray for each other all over the world, and especially those who suffer. And so that's what we want to do in our service today. In spite of all the evil about us, in spite of the suffering of the saints, in spite of the fact that God might not act just the way we would like him to do, we want him to act in spite of that, all of that and more. We are never going to lose faith. We are never going to lose and come into despair. And yet the psalmist knows that God is good and he's going to execute judgment. And this is what the psalmist says. Verse 23, and he shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. And so in spite of the fact that the psalmist could not understand why God didn't why sin prospered and why God didn't act, he's saying, I'm trusting him. I'm trusting him. 22nd verse. Listen to what the psalmist says. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And that's exactly what Job said way back at the dawn of human history. And he says, though he slay me, I'll trust him. I'll never lose my faith in my wonderful God, nor will we today, because God is there. And though he slay me, I will trust him. Well, with that scripture as the background, I want to preach a kind of a birthday sermon. And I want to take from this four things. I want to remember, first of all, keep in mind, remember that God is God. And then secondly, remember, God is faithful. And the third thing, remember, God is wise. And the fourth thing, remember, God is love. Remember, God is God. We see it over and over. Man is his own God now. He has no time for God. He lives his own life. He makes his own laws. He has his own principles, and he doesn't have any principles and morals. He leaves them out. Look at what the world does with the Ten Commandments. Look at how they handle the Word of God, the precious Word of God. It's ridiculed. It's despised. They burn it. They hate it. They write against it. They do everything they can to keep it, and keep it out of the schools and everything else. They want God out of the picture. They don't want God anywhere because they want to live as they please. And if they want to live like the dogs or the hogs, they can, and they do. God have mercy on their soul. And so there's all sorts of sin is acceptable. And so man can be as free as a bird in the breeze. And he can do as he wants because he's going to get rid of God. That's humanism. Well, that's a way back in the Psalms chapter 2. Look at what the psalmist writes. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, against Jesus Christ. The rulers, the world is taking sides against God. And the psalmist says in Psalm 2, verse 3 says that these wicked people defying God and getting rid of God. They say, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. They says, we don't want God. We don't want any mention of God. They want to take God off of the coins in the United States of America. It's a rebellion against God. And what does God do? You know what he does? Here it is, verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He laughs at these puny, ignorant, wicked people. And then he says what he's going to do. Verses 9, 10 to 12. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. That is, fall down on your faces and kiss his feet. This is great God Almighty. And I know if we have people listening, we maybe do. I don't know why they'd listen, but maybe they're just out of curiosity. They want to see how an old man preaches or something. I don't know. But if you're part of this gang, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You are going to kiss his feet. You're going to kiss his feet. Look at here, Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, Jesus, and he's given him a name which is above every name. Hear now, listen, take heed, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And listen to this. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. You hate God and you got him out of the picture, but he's going to be back. And you better kiss the Son and get on your knees and confess your sins and turn to Christ while you have the chance. I want to tell you, dear friends, this movement I see this Psalms coming. I've been preaching now for 71 years. People say, why can't you do better after 71 years? And I said, you should have heard me when I started, you dumb cluck. I made a lot of improvements. Well, I've seen over those 71 years, I'm telling you, they have things going now and they're teaching things now that we would never have dreamed of 70 years ago. Never dreamed of it. And so it's a society that is anti-Christian. It's anti-Christ. And it's, and like the psalmist says, it looks like they're winning. But God is God. And don't you forget it. And let me just remind you of a revelation that John had, St. John. He's on the Isle of Patmos in the Revelation chapter 1. And this is what he talks about, this great God. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And then John, St. John says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one was like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the chest with a golden girdle. His head was, and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like undefined brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. And John says, I fell, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. That's God, and you're going to meet him. I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand on me, saying unto me, fear not. I'm the first and the last. I'm one that liveth and dead. I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of hell and death. Yes, just remember, on my 94th birthday, God is God. And this God is faithful. This is a wonderful God. As we look back over your life and think about those times that God helped you, sent an angel to watch over you. You didn't see the angel, but you could have had an accident, been killed. The way I drive, it happens every time I drive a car, it seems like. Where are all these bad drivers coming from anyway? All sides of you. It makes you nervous, 94 years old, and they're screeching around and everything else. The Bible talks about the quick and the dead. Well, that's a streetwalkers, people crossing the street. It's the quick and the dead. The way these people drive is terrible. And so we remember God saved us from a lot of things. Don't forget that. God is faithful. He's watched. When I preach about this, I always think of David and the Goliath. I loved that story as a child. And I remember my mother reading that story. And I made a sling. And right away I got that sling. And I was going to go out and kill something. It's a good thing there weren't giants around, or I might have tried to kill them. But what did David do? Well, we have that beautiful story. And David, he goes along and he says, I killed a lion and I killed a bear. And I hear Goliath is down here challenging the people of God. And I'll go and I'll kill that giant. And so he talks to Saul, and Saul, oh, good grief. Saul is head and shoulders above anybody in Israel. And here's this little boy coming along, this little lad, and said, Saul, you shouldn't do that. But okay, you can do that. I'll give you my armor. And David put on his armor and he couldn't move. And he says, get rid of this junk. And he got rid of that and took his sling, and you know the story. And then he went out there and he slew that giant. The giant is killed, and David cuts off his head. And we read in 1 Samuel 17, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. He puts the giant's armor in his tent. Now, what do you do that for? Well, he did that. He said, look what I did. I killed that giant. If you don't think I'm somebody... No, he didn't do that. You know why he did that? He did that the same thing as he did with the lion and the bear. He was going to fight Goliath because God gave him a victory over the lion and the bear. And now he has Goliath armor there to remind him of the faithfulness of God. And God's going to see him through anything. And he never forgot it. You know, I'm an old man now. And something happened to me almost 75 years ago that showed me the ability of God able to provide and take care of me. It happened on the morning of November 11th, 1940. It was Armistice Day in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I was in Bible school. And then that morning, it was an unseasonably high day. The temperature were the mid-60s. And then quickly, without warning, the temperature plummeted from the 60s to the single digit degrees. And then there came rain, and then there came sleet, and then there came heavy snow, and Minneapolis had 16.7 inches of snow. And then wind 50 miles an hour. And in that wind and in that storm, 154 people died, and 49 of them were duck hunters who went out hunting that morning in their shirt sleeves, and that tempest came, and they lost their lives. And this Armistice Day blizzard of 1940 is ranked number 2 by the Minnesota Climatology top 5 weather events of the 20th century. Number 2, second worst they ever had. I remember sitting in the classroom and seeing those the snow coming down, just the biggest saucers, and I thought, I'm in big trouble. I got to walk 6 blocks to work, and I don't have a coat. I had a little flimsy sweater, and it wouldn't have done me been worth 2 cents. And I didn't have it. I didn't have any money to buy a coat, and I never thought of it. And so I'm sitting there, and I have no coat, and I have no sweater, and I have no boots. And I have nothing. And how am I going to get to work? Our dormitory was next door. I went next door, and there was a package. And in that package, there was a big, heavy winter coat. And I said, oh, God, if I live to be 100 years old, I'll never forget that. And I never will. The faithfulness of God. And I can tell you, in my life, I've seen God being... Remember his faithfulness. He's God. Remember his faithfulness. And remember, he's wise. He has all wisdom, and he's not going to be caught up in anything or tricked by anything. He knows everything. And when we read about him, we read about how that he just knew everything even before it happened. For instance, he knew that at a certain time, a certain fish would have a certain coin in its mouth, and they caught it, and sure enough, it had the coin, and they paid the tax with it. He knew at a certain time that a man would have an unwritten, unhitched donkey at his parting of the ways. He says, tell him to give your donkey up. I have it for the master. And that's exactly what happened. He went to the woman at the well. He met a woman he'd never seen before. He said, you've had five husbands. He knew all things. Jesus was never surprised. He never had a trick question called on him that he couldn't answer. He knew it all. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, they just marveled at him. And so consequently, my dear friends, we can put everything into his hands because he has all wisdom. And he does everything right. And I'm going to tell you this too, after all, in my old age, I'm going to tell you there's going to be things happen in your life that you can't explain. And when those things happen and I have those funerals, I tell them and they ask me, why did this happen? I say, I don't know. Why, for instance, I've had services for an innocent little baby, a beautiful little child, and before it can do a thing, God takes it home. And here comes some guys who, God loved the baby more than he did so much he wanted to just take him home. The brokenhearted mother says, why did he give him to me in the first place then? Don't try to explain God. And I've had it, I remember I can see it yet, and I know it's been in the night, it was early 40s, 45, 46, and we had funerals in homes those days. And when I went into Wyoming, I drove an old wreck of a car out there, how I got there, well, there's the grace of God. And that woman had three little girls. She was dead. The mother was dead. And she was there in that home. And those little girls, I saw them. They looked like those little fawns with their big eyes. And they didn't know anything. I never forgot that. Now, you can't explain that. Why is dad taken? Why is some young pastor taken that preaches the world? And what you have to do is just do this. Know that God loves us. Know that God is wise. Know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And for goodness sake, don't throw away your faith because you have something you don't know. That is stupid. Because you know God loves you. You know that God is all wise. You know that he could do these things. Why would you give up something you know for something you don't know? The wonderful wisdom of God. And then I want to talk about God is love. His love, he's proved his love to me without a doubt over and over. And he proved it when he gave his son on the cross. And God so loved the world that he gave his son. And when we accept Jesus Christ into our heart, we're born again and we become his child. And that wonderful love of God draws us to himself. And you ought to open your heart, and as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. Even to those who believe on his name. And God is talking to some of you right now, and you ought to get on your knees. And if you're driving a truck, park it. Don't get on your knees in the truck driving down the road, for the Lord's sake. But just stop and do whatever you're doing and ask Jesus to come into your heart and tell him you'll serve him the best you can. And then you thank him and you tell somebody and tell us, and we'll send you some literature. And I'm going to tell you, dear friends, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life. Oh, it's all hinged on Jesus. It isn't a church. It isn't baptism. It isn't confirmation. It isn't circumcision. It isn't 1,000 different things. They all have their place. But there's only one thing, and that's this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the way. Open your heart to Jesus. But I want to tell you something, and I want you to listen carefully. This wonderful love of God, and I'm going to close talking about the love of God. This love of God is never going to end for the Christian, for the believer. But for if you're not a believer, there's going to be an end to the love of God. And that end is going to come at death. And at death, it's going to be eternal bliss, or it's going to be eternal blight. It's going to be heaven, it's going to be hell. And if you're a child of God, that love of God will never end. That's why a true Christian, a person born again, can't be lost. You can't lose your salvation. You can't get beyond the love of God, for goodness sake. But if you don't know Jesus, he loves you. In spite of all your sin, he loves you. And if you come to him and receive him, why, he'll give you everlasting life. But if you refuse him and you die in your sins, there's no more love. No more love. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And that's what you have to face. And as the book of Hebrews says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Turn to Jesus. And if you do, here's his love. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. That's happening right now, isn't it? Yeah, right now. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor present things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's found in Jesus Christ. You can't lose your salvation because you can't get beyond the love of God if you have Christ in your life. But if you're not a believer, I have to say it again, that love will end. Philip Bliss put it about this wonderful Jesus. He says, I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, but this is the dearest. Jesus loves me. And though I forget him and go on to astray, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms I would flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. He loves you. I get letters, and you think you're too big a sinner. You can't be too big a sinner. The grace of God is greater than all our sin. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And God is able to take away all of your sins. And then this wonderful Jesus will be with you all the time. And listen to what he says in Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that have their young. And so here he is. He's taking the little children and he's carrying them. And he loves them and he keeps them. But I'm thinking about myself. I'm thinking about how about the old gray heads? How about the elderly and the infirm? How about the weary and the heavy laden? How about the helpless and the hopeless and the dependent and the despairing? Where can they turn if he's carrying the lambs? Well, Isaiah has something about that too. God tells us in Isaiah 6:46 and verse 4, even to your old age I am he, and even to your gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will hear, I will bear you, even I will carry and deliver you. Tyndale translates it like this. I will be your God through all your lifetime, yes. Even when your hair is white with age, I made you and I'll care for you. I will carry you along and be your Savior. Oh, the lambs get special help, but so do the old people, all of us. And so today I'm praying that you know Jesus. And if you don't, oh, then just turn to the Lord Jesus and call on his name. Ask him to come into your heart. We just say that over and over because there is you. That's the keystone. You have to have Jesus. I am the way. You never get to heaven, Jesus says in John 14:6, unless you have, I'm the way and come to Jesus. So you make that prayer. And then you write to us and we'll send you some literature. And you can get started in the Christian life. And if you have questions, we'll always answer your letter. And we'll try to help you every way we can. And you can find joy and peace that the world can't give. So you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you can get Rita all about us. And there you'll find out we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. So we account for everything you send us. And so we'll pray for you and you pray for us. And someday we'll meet just inside that eastern gate. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your people who've listened in. Thank you for those who are still in their sins and they've listened and they're thinking and the Holy Spirit is talking to them right now. Help them to come and to pray right this minute. And oh God, write their names in the Lamb's Book of Life and give them the joy of salvation. And we'll always give you the thanks and the praise because it's your doing. It's the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Nothing more, nothing less. And so we praise your name. Now we ask, Lord, especially for those on sick beds and those who are shut in and those who are lonely and those who are weary and those who are discouraged. Help them to know that you said you never leave them or forsake them. You said, I'll be with you to the end of the age, the end of the world. And so there you are, right by their side. And you love them, Lord, and we love them. And that's why we're preaching and teaching and singing and trying every way we can to bring them into the kingdom, to bring them to Jesus' feet. So bless us all. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We just pray God will bless all of you. Pray that you come back next week. Pray that you'll pray for us, that you write to us. We need to hear from you. Tell your friends, let them know that you're getting a blessing, you're getting help. And who knows, somebody you talk to, somebody you tell, may tune in, may watch us and come to know Jesus. And that's your bringing them to Jesus. So you do that, and to God be all the glory. Amen.